Welcome to Rattled. Today, I'm going to tell you a story about something that happened to me when I was a little girl. When we are children, we are scared of the monsters that live under our bed. We become afraid of the things we don't understand, the things we can't see, and the things we create in our own mind. As I've gotten older, I find that out of all the monsters I've encountered, the one that scares me the most is the one that's hiding in plain sight. It's the one that looks me straight in the eye, shakes my hand at church on Sunday, and tells me to have a blessed day. I think when a monster moves out of their house, I think they leave something behind, kind of like an imprint or a shadow. A memory of the pain and the hurt that's been inflicted on another person. I think that energy takes on a life of its own and takes up residence. It sits, and it waits for the next family to move in, fueling arguments and anger and pain, growing stronger and stronger until it has swallowed all the light. I don't think houses are inherently good or evil, but I do know that when I walk into a house, I notice how they feel. Some houses, they feel light. They feel like sunshine. Other houses feel like they are full of love, and they're very welcoming. And other houses are very heavy and very dark, and they weigh on me. Have you ever lived in a house like that? In a house where the walls held secrets? Where they whispered the pain of what happened there. Where the energy was so dark and so thick and so heavy, it stuck to you and weighed you down. Well, I have. Come on in, and I'll tell you all about it. I'm Sam, and this is Rattled. I was born and raised in a tiny town in the Carolinas. For the first 9 years of my life, I grew up living in a tiny two-bedroom made-over log cabin with a tin roof and a screened back porch. Now, I lived there with my parents, my dog Buster, and an ever-growing number of brothers and sisters. My mama and daddy rented from a local farmer who owned several hundred acres. There were plenty of woods to explore and barns to have adventures in. I would take a trail through the woods between our house and the neighbor's house, go play with my best friend on many afternoons and on the weekends. Life was simple. Life was country. And I loved every second of it. One day, as all things do, everything changed. The farmer we rented from decided to sell his property to a developer, and he let my daddy know that we would have a certain number of weeks to move. My parents had at least 4, maybe 5 children by then, and our family did need more space. Even if a bedroom is fairly large, 4 or more kids in one room is a lot. As the oldest, I was most aware of what was going on. I was pretty sad to learn that we would have to move. This was my childhood home and everything that I had ever known. However, my parents found a new place for us to live, and when I saw it, I was so excited. It was a large white farmhouse with two levels, not just one, and it had so many bedrooms and lots of space to play outside. There was even a chance I might get to have my own room, or I might only have to share with my sister. And that thought was so exciting for me. We began to pack up our things and get ready for moving day. A few days before we were supposed to move into this house, my mama had a dream. She dreamed that we moved into this home, and one night, not long after we moved in, there was a house fire. In her dream, she escaped, but her children, sleeping on the second floor, did not. She stood in the front yard, watching as her house burned down with her children in it. This dream rattled my mama to her core. It upset her so badly that she absolutely refused to move into this house. My daddy tried and tried to convince her otherwise, but she wouldn't hear any of it. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. Most people would chalk a bad dream like that up to nerves or anxiety or maybe something they ate right before they went to bed. But in my family, we women and girls, we have dreams. And these dreams aren't just like any dream. They feel different. And when you have that kind of a dream, the kind that feels realer than real, the kind that you wake up from sobbing or screaming, that has you sit bolt upright in bed, fully awake. If you know what's good for you, you will pay attention. So, everything was packed in boxes and moving day came, and my mama was still unyielding. So my daddy did not sign the lease. Now this put us all in a bit of a bind as we were supposed to be moving out, and at that point we had nowhere else to go. My daddy had to go have a talk with our landlord and try to buy a little bit more time to find us a new place to live. I wasn't there, so I don't know what was said between them, but I do know that our landlord was very unhappy about the inconvenience. My parents searched all over, and they found another house to rent. The house was in another small town, opposite of where the first house was located. It was situated on a much smaller plot of land on the corner of a busy intersection. This environment was completely different from what I was familiar with, and there was no chance of having my own room anymore. The kid version of me was pretty disappointed. I did not fully understand why we couldn't move into the big, beautiful house. I did know then about my mama's dream and that she considered it a warning, and I did not doubt her, but the home that we would spend the next 5 years in had a darkness of its own. It was moving day for real this time. We packed up our things to move into this new home. Mama and Daddy went over and signed the lease and got the keys. We drove over to our new house. When we walked in, we got quite the surprise. The previous tenants had been evicted for non-payment, and they must have been pretty upset about it because prior to leaving this home, they had pretty much trashed it. There was torn wallpaper, holes in the drywall. They'd taken spray paint to a couple of the walls and written some really awful words. I don't know if the landlords were aware of this before we moved in, or what the arrangement was between them and my parents. The couple who owned the house were much older, and this may have had something to do with why we walked into this home and it was in this condition. My parents had already spent the money and signed the lease, and we had nowhere else to go. So we all worked together to fix it up. The feel of this home was very dark and heavy. I was just a kid, and I had no real way of understanding how I was feeling or what I was sensing at that time. All I knew is that when I went inside this house, it felt like a heavy boulder made its way over to my stomach and sat there. I have much more context now as an adult, having experienced this so many times in my life, and now I understand it a lot better. But back then, I had no idea what was happening. All I know is that I had a real, real bad feeling in that house. And some places in that house made me feel a lot worse than others. Initially, my parents took the upstairs. It was a large, open room, the length of the home, with a full bathroom. On either side of the room were two storage closets. The doors were short, about 3 or 4 feet tall. They were large enough for a child to fit in. They had locks on the outside of them. While we were moving things in, my siblings and I went into one of them to explore. I crouched into the tiny closet, and my heart immediately sank into my stomach, and I had an intense feeling of dread and helplessness. We turned on the small light bulb in the middle of the closet and we looked around. On the walls were words and phrases scribbled in a child's handwriting. There were lots of profanities. I hate you. Help me. I want out. I hate my life. There were fingernail scratch marks on the door, like someone had been locked in there and was trying to get out. Being in this closet, it was like somebody else was whispering in my head all sorts of horrible things.
I hate you. No one could ever love you. You're so ugly. You're so worthless. The world would be better without you in it.
It was so overwhelming and upsetting, I had to leave. At the time, I did not mention this to anybody. I did not know exactly what was happening. I was raised in the independent fundamental Baptist church, where there was a large emphasis on holy living. I was largely kept from quote-unquote worldly influences. We did not have a television. We did not go to movies. We were only allowed to listen to preaching, to gospel hymns or classical music. And we were also homeschooled, so I had no friends outside of the church that we attended. My world was very, very small and very sheltered. God was good, and the devil was bad, and people either went to heaven or hell when they died. And even if you were born again, if you did enough bad things, there's a good chance you might not have really meant that prayer that you said that you prayed. So the fear of eternal damnation by an angry, angry God was very real in my mind. There were an unimaginable number of ways to sin, and I was taught that even your thoughts could be sinful. You better watch out, because God knew everything. If you were thinking something bad, you better believe God was going to know about it. When I experienced these thoughts that did not seem to be mine, I had absolutely no understanding what I might be picking up on. Our religion did not include ideas like ghosts or negative energy. Satanic panic lasted well into the 90s and beyond at our church. I really believed that my brain must be sinning against God, and the only way to deal with that was to talk directly to the good Lord and ask for His forgiveness for being such a sinful creature. Little did I know how often I'd be begging the Almighty for forgiveness for that same thing over and over again for the next 5 years. Not long after we moved in, my mama got a call. You know that house we were supposed to move into? The one that she had that dream about? Well, it caught fire, and it burned down. There's more to this story, which I'll get into next time. Meanwhile, if you have a story of your own, I'd love to hear about it. You can find me on Instagram or TikTok at Rattled Podcast. I'll see you there.